There's a sign on the pulpit here. You guys can't see, but I can. It says, please do not adjust the microphone. Makes you want to touch it. That's human nature, isn't it? It really is. I can't have it, so I must need it. I certainly want it. And I don't even know what it is. There's a quote from Gandhi where he has said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians because they're not like Jesus. Now, you could take either side on this to be angry at Gandhi, or perhaps just look at the truth of what he said. As Christians, sometimes we get lost in what we should be focused on. We find ourselves camping out in places that we shouldn't be and wasting valuable time on things that really don't matter. Years ago, I attended a small church where I was the worship leader. And at first, it seemed the church was okay, just a simple Christian church. But after being there for about a year, I realized that there was really underlying problems within the church. There were some really great people there that wanted to be led, but there were some other people that weren't so healthy in the walk with Christ that wanted to lead. They really didn't hold a position in the church, but they had a lot of power and authority because they spoke loudly and used scripture to put people in their place. Well, I was a bit naive, thinking that all Christians are kind to one another. But the truth of the matter is, we as Christians sometimes put up our own sense of judgment, our own measuring stick, and we measure other people, and we bring damnation and condemnation on our own. You may have heard the term cannibalistic Christianity. This is what I'm referring to, where within a church, people eat each other, you know? They just tear each other down on the simple little things that really don't matter. Really don't matter. Now, I wore shorts today to church. It's probably the first time in about 10 years. You see, when I became a Christian, many of you know the story, I was going to church and I said, anybody says anything to me, I'm out of there. I was ready for those Christians. But the people were sincere. They were really good folks, just trying to follow after Jesus, just like you guys. That's why I love this church. And I learned how to play guitar a little bit, and they asked me to play with them on the worship team, and I wore shorts up there, and some people had a problem with it. But Pastor Joel, the senior pastor, was like, it doesn't really matter. Mark just wants to play for God. It's where the focus should be. Now, at this other church I attended, if I had showed up with shorts on, that would have been blaspheming the Holy Spirit, unforgivable sin, that kind of thing. And what kind of church is that? What kind of church does that? Not this church. And I appreciate that about you guys. I'm going to read here from 1 Corinthians. I've been reading it a little bit. It's a good book. I guess they're all good books. I'll stop there. My mind starts reeling with funny things to say, but there's a time and place for everything, I suppose. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. They're having some issues in maturity. They're having quarrels and disputes among each other. They're fighting like little children, and he says the very thing. And he wants to rebuke them and correct them so that they can be mature. They're off the path. They need to be on the right path. And this is what he says. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts at that time. Each will receive his praise from God. In another scripture it says, man sees the outer appearance, but God sees the heart. Now I think that many of you who know me would not be offended by me wearing shorts to church. Probably because you know my heart. I believe that to be true. And I believe that to be true about so many of you. Is it really an issue? Do we want to waste our time on things that really don't matter? You see, it boils down to be a heart issue. It's all about us, individually, with God. Now, I grew up in the Catholic Church in New York. It's kind of enlightening, if you will. You know, when you're growing up in something, you believe that's just the way it is. Well, I realized as a teenager that things didn't seem so right. In the Catholic Church, you could do what you wanted out throughout the week and then go to confession and be forgiven for it. It's kind of a cool deal, you know, as long as you made it to the end of the week. Better watch your level of sinning. But one of the things that grieved me the most was my mother, who many of you knew, who passed away about three weeks ago. And one of the things that grieved me the most was when she was a young lady, she had gotten divorced. Now, I know that many of us have. I was married at 18 and divorced at 19. I know there's some of you out there kind of been down that road. You know, you make choices that you shouldn't have. You know, chose the wrong path, you were immature, but at the time you thought you were doing the right thing. Most of us were probably led by feelings. But because my mom was a good Catholic woman, and she had gotten divorced, her priest told her, you can no longer receive communion because you're a divorced woman now. So for over 40 years, as my mother went to church and allowed the elements to pass her by, as the cup went by and as the bread went by, it heaped shame and guilt upon her. What kind of man of God does that? You won't find that in the Bible. Sometimes we are led astray. But I'm not just picking on the Catholic Church, because we ourselves are tempted all the time to look down upon someone else and to throw judgment on top of them. We really are. I had the privilege of introducing my mother to Jesus just a few years ago. What an awesome opportunity. You know, I thought, well, she's a Catholic, you know, she'll probably get in. But I wanted her to know him and his forgiveness and his grace. I just couldn't take that, the guilt that she bore, and she wore it heavily on her shoulders. And nothing I could say or do would take it away from her. But God did. Through reading the scripture, and her reading devotional of the little book, The Daily Bread, which is a way cool book, she found God. And she found forgiveness and the grace that he offered her. In this church is where my mother started receiving communion again. What an awesome thing. And she was befriended by some of the people of this church that showed her grace and mercy, because she was not a perfect woman, as none of us are, men and women. Andy, boy, she loved you. Always brought a smile. Tom Eves, so many others. I appreciate that. But the point of this message is that sometimes we get off track and we think that we're living a righteous life when we're so righteous. You know, God wants people to come to him so they can be more like Christ, not come to him so they can be more like us. We rewrite the scripture sometimes, and we have these unspoken rules about how to dress and how to speak and what we shouldn't watch and what we shouldn't do. We're not supposed to add to the word or take away. I think God's given us plenty to work with. He asked for simple obedience, for a clear heart and clear mind and clear conscience. Through the communion, God offers grace, not condemnation. Through the communion, God offers a living hope, a remembrance of the promise that he has made through his sacrifice. One of the second points I'd like to bring was for my mother and many others who deal with this kind of thing. When we bring judgment upon someone, And we pretty much nail them to the cross because of what we think is right and wrong. We are saying that Christ's sacrifice was not enough. How dare we? And we all do it if we search our hearts and minds throughout the week, and sometimes unknowingly. I believe God wants us to be a living testimony of grace. He really does. When people see us, they should see Jesus. They really should. The guy who dresses up to go to church, wears a tie, and says the right things and quotes scripture, but a life changed by a living God who spoke the truth to us so many years ago. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you, for each one of us. Do this in remembrance of me." In a likewise manner, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, a new covenant in my blood." We drink and we remember what Jesus has done for us. Would you pray with me? Father, we come before you, just a simple people, just simple. Speak to our hearts and our minds, God, wherever we may be. Please accept what we have to offer. You see our hearts. You know where we're at. Just use us, God. This church family, we want to follow you. We want to be obedient to you, God, and pleasing. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.